Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Exodus Church, located in Belmont, North Carolina. For more information about our church and the many ways you can be involved, please go to our website at theexoduschurch.org or email us at info@theexoduschurch.org.
Now, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be wrapping up our series today called Our King and His Warning. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 24. Now, back in 2019, when we purchased this property, we were doing a lot of work inside to turn it from a haunted house to into a place where we could worship. But next to us, right here, where that parking lot is, was just a lot of dirt and a couple of houses. And there was a lot of work that had to get done. It's called site work. And one of the things we kept running into was a problem called bad dirt. One of the things they do when they build a parking lot is they do what's called a roll test, where they roll a heavy piece of equipment on the dirt to make sure it will support the weight. And if it won't support the weight, they have to dig down to find good dirt and dig out all the bad dirt, bring in new good dirt to pack on top of the good dirt. Now, I'm convinced that our bad dirt, somebody else's good dirt, okay? But about two or three times, we got the phone call, hey, we got bad dirt. Now, none of us were excited about spending money on dirt, right? But what we had to do was get down to a point where it would support the weight of a parking lot. Because last thing we would want would be to get all this done and then have a big sinkhole appear in the middle of our parking lot, right? We had to do the work, as costly and as frustrating as it was. We had to do the work that was necessary so that we could build on top of that. Well, here in our passage today, Jesus is going to want us to do some site work in our hearts. He's going to want us to dig down deep so that we don't build our lives on bad dirt. He's going to want us to build our lives on good dirt or on a rock. He doesn't want us to build our lives on sand. He wants us to build our lives where our lives can last. And so as we look at this passage today, we're going to do some site work on our hearts. And my prayer is that we would leave here with our lives built on the one foundation that will last. That's the foundation of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read verses 24 to 27, then I'll pray, and we'll jump into God's word together. Let's look at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to your word today wanting to hear wonderful things from it. And your word demands of us today that we do some internal site work on our hearts so that we can understand and see the foundation of our lives. Where is our life built? And is that foundation lasting? Is that foundation something that will see us through the rain and the storm and the wind that comes into our lives? And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see, and that you give us hearts to receive from your word today. And Lord, to the degree that we're not building our lives on the rock of you and your word, Lord, would you grant repentance? And Lord, for those of us who are in the middle of rain and wind and storm, would you show us that your foundation is strong, and that no matter what comes against us, your foundation will hold us. Show us these things from your word today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to see three things this morning. We're going to see the context, we're going to see the content, and then we're going to see the choice we have. Okay, let's start with context. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. They're on a mountain. He's been speaking to them through chapters 5, 6, and 7. We know this as the Sermon on the Mount. And here at the end of that sermon, he says, you're going to hear my word, and the issue is whether you do them or whether you don't do them. And what he wants is for us to be a wise person who hears the word and does what he says, not a foolish person who hears the word and does not do what Jesus says. And he gives us an illustration of what that looks like. He says, it's like two people who build a house. A wise man builds his house on the rock, and when the rains come, it stands. and a foolish person who builds his house on sand, and when the rains come, it washes away. And so in this context, Jesus tells us two things about our lives. The first thing he tells us is this: every one of us, whether you have a religious background or whether you would call yourself a religious person or a Christian, every one of us is building our lives on something. Every single one of us has a foundation on which our lives are built. And every one of our foundations answers a few questions. One of those questions is, what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with me? Every one of us have a foundation on which our lives are built that answers that question. What's wrong with the world and what's wrong with me? The other question that foundation answers is, how does that get fixed? How does the world get fixed? How do I get fixed? Because something's wrong and it needs to get fixed. That foundation answers that question for us. Another question that foundation answers is, what part do I play in that? And every one of us is building on something. Now, one of the foundations we tend to build on is power. Our answer to what's wrong with the world is, I feel weak. Others are stronger than me. Others are in control. And so the answer is for me to be in control. And we try to be in control by achieving and being successful, having more stuff. And so we build our lives on the foundation of power. Now, the problem is that there's always someone stronger. There's always someone with more. There's always someone who can do more. And if you build your life on the foundation of your sense of power, the rains will come and it will wash you away. Another thing we build our lives on is sometimes political affiliation. Now, Cheryl and I started dating before the internet was a thing, okay? But now there are things like eHarmony, Match, all these websites that connect people together. Did you know that in the last two to three years, the number one criteria that people are selecting for matching with someone is political affiliation? That is the number one criteria people are selecting. And what happens is when political affiliation becomes the foundation on which we build our lives, we believe that politics is the foundation. We see our world through an us-them lens. The world is broken because the other side won and gets to make the rules. And the hope for the world is that our team might win. And then we become an evangelist for whatever our team is. And building our lives on political affiliation will only last an election cycle. It's a weak, weak foundation on which to build your life. Politics is important. We should vote. We should be good citizens. But it's a weak foundation on which to build our lives. It's sinking sand. The third foundation many of us find is the opinions of others. And when my life is built on the opinion of others, my goal is for the right person to have the right opinion of me. And I will do whatever I have to do for the right person to have the right opinion. I'll spend money I don't have to impress people I don't like with stuff I don't need. We'll do whatever it takes for that the right person to have the right opinion of me. And not only does that mean we're trapped in middle school, it also means that we have no courage. We're in a constant hamster wheel of despair because we want the right person to have the right opinion of us rather than having the right truth grounded in God's word. And so these are sand. Jesus says they will not support the life we're building. And when we build on them, Jesus says we're fools. He says the wisest person builds her life on Jesus and his word. That's what Jesus says. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But for now, every one of us is building our lives somewhere. The second thing that's true about every one of us is getting rained on. He says both the wise person and the foolish person is getting rained on. Whether they built on the rock or the sand, rain is coming. Following Jesus doesn't save us from storms. It saves us through them. Jesus is talking about a kind of rain that comes in quickly. Now, all of us are like amateur meteorologists. We all have a weather app on our phone, and we can figure out exactly when, you know, we watch the radar and know exactly when things are going to get here. Back in the day, they didn't have those things, and so rain would come in quickly, and they had these things called wadis in the Middle East, where rain would fall, and it would fall quickly, and the ground would be hard, and it couldn't soak in, and so it would just blast through these wadis and take away everything in its path with flooding. That's what Jesus is talking about. And sometimes rain falls on us like this. It's things we're not thinking about, things we're not expecting. Grief, loss, pain that suddenly comes into our lives. We've got all our life planned out, and all of a sudden something that we weren't expecting hits it. That's the kind of rain Jesus is talking about. Sometimes rain falls on us like a pop-up thunder shower. Sometimes rain comes in like a hurricane. We see it coming. We know, okay, that's coming. That's going to be a hard, stormy part of our life. We're looking out on our calendar. We know school's starting in a few weeks. We're looking at work. We know we've got a major project at work that's going to take a lot of extra hours. We know that's coming. Maybe you're looking ahead. You're about to start potty training. You know that that's going to be crazy town. You can see the rain that's coming. However the rain comes, whether it's a flash thunderstorm or a hurricane that comes in, Jesus says, if you build your house on sand, your life will be washed away and great will be the fall of it. But if you build your house on the rock, it will remain. But two things are true. Every one of us is building somewhere. Every one of us is going to experience rain. Every one of us is getting rained on. And so then he moves from context to the content. Like, what are we to build our lives on? Notice what he says in verse 24. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So the content of our foundation is these words of mine. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's a sense in which we could say that's all of God's word. Like, all of the Bible are these words of Jesus, right? But what I think what Jesus is talking about here is probably Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. He's landing the plane here, okay? He's wrapping up this sermon. And he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be a wise person. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be a foolish person. So what are these words of mine? What does he say in the Sermon on the Mount? So let's take a quick run through of what we've been going over since last December, or since January. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 12, we know that as the Beatitudes. And in that, Jesus tells us what a disciple is like in his kingdom. And he says, a disciple is someone who embraces weakness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They have an others-centered ethic. Blessed are the merciful. They embrace persecution rather than comfort. They know, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you for my sake. So a disciple is someone who embraces weakness rather than power, embraces an other-centered ethic rather than a self-centered one, embraces persecution rather than comfort. Second thing Jesus tells us is in chapter 5, verse 20. He says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, when they heard this, they would have thought, man, then who has a hope? Because the scribes and Pharisees were like the best of the best of the best of this day. And so what Jesus is saying here is not that a disciple needs an external righteousness that he can achieve, but that a disciple needs an internal righteousness that we receive. It's not an external one we achieve, but an internal one that we receive. And so Jesus is saying, he's not saying you need more of what they have. You need a different kind of righteousness altogether. And then he tells us in chapter 6, he says in chapter 6, verse 1, look at this. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. We learn here in Matthew chapter 6 that a disciple is to practice his righteousness not in order to be seen by men, but so that we might get a reward from our Father who's in heaven. We don't live for the temporary praise of temporary people. We live for the eternal reward that comes from our eternal Father. That's what a disciple does. And then in Matthew 6, verse 33, look at that with me. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So a disciple seeks first the kingdom. We don't seek the temporary stuff that we can obtain. We don't seek the temporary security that our anxiety longs for. We seek the kingdom, and then God takes care of everything we need. Then in chapter 7, a disciple follows God's narrow path and how we relate to one another and how we pray and the lives that we live. These are the words of Jesus on which we build our lives. So we can embrace weakness or power. We can try to achieve an external righteousness, or we can receive an internal one. We can live to be seen and praised by others, or we can live for the reward that comes from our Heavenly Father. We can seek what the world says is valuable, or we can seek first the kingdom. We can live God's way or our way. But the only one that will be a good foundation for our lives is to hear Jesus' words and do them. So that's the content. We can be a wise person who hears and does his word, or a foolish person who hears and does not do his word. And that leads us to the choice. The choice. Now, you don't get a choice about your context. Everyone is building their life on something. Everyone is going to get rained on. You don't get a choice about that. You don't get a choice about the content. Jesus' words are clear here. Hey, that should be the choice, not true choice, Luke. If you could change that, that'd bless my heart for sure. You don't get a choice about the content. Jesus' words are clear. You hear them and do them, or you hear them and don't do them. Your choice lies in our response to the context and content. And a wise person hears the word and does it, builds his house on the rock. A foolish person hears the word and does not do it, and he builds his life on sand. And for a wise person, his house remains. For a foolish person, his house is destroyed. Great is the fall of it. Listen. Following Jesus doesn't result in a life without storm. Some of you have heard that. You've heard that if I just trust Jesus, life's going to be about blessing and prosperity and favor, and I'm never going to have problems if I trust Jesus. Well, the problem with that's the Bible, okay? The Bible says, in this world, you will have trouble. Following Jesus doesn't get us a life without storms. It gets us a life that can weather them. So the choice we have is, will we be a wise person who builds our house on a rock, or will we be a foolish person who builds our house on the sand? That's the choice we have to make. Which leads us to the last question. What's the foundation of your life? You have one. Every single one of us have a foundation for our life. Every single one of us have a foundation that answers the question, what's wrong with the world? How do I fix it? And what's my part in that? Every one of us. And the question is, what is the foundation of your life? And will it last? Not like, will it last through the summer, or will it last until my kids get out of the house? But will it last for all eternity? What's the foundation of our life? You know, scholars suggest that these two houses probably looked the same. They didn't have Lowe's and Home Depot. They didn't have HGTV to make us covet other people's stuff. They would have had the materials they had. They would have built two houses that looked very similar. The difference was the foundation. And you really couldn't tell the difference until the rain came. And the rain would show what kind of house was built, what foundation the house was built on. And so what's the foundation of your life today? What's the foundation of your life today? Maybe you've been building your life on shifting sand, on bad dirt. Maybe you've been building your house on the opinion of others. Maybe you've been building your life on the hope that you'd be strong enough and good enough, long enough to make it. Maybe you've been building your house on any number of things, and what you need to do is repent of that. Because all those foundations that you're building your life on, they won't last. They won't last. Like the opinions of others last like a couple of minutes. It won't last. And so you need to repent of building your house on sand and build your house on the rock of Jesus and his word. Now, it may be that you've built your house on Jesus. And maybe the question for you is not what's my foundation. Maybe the question for you is, will that foundation hold me? Because rain's coming. Man, we've been walking through a lot of rain and storms and wind over the last 2 years. Rain's coming. And we need to know, will this hold? When the wind beats against my life, will this foundation hold me? We need to be reminded of the words of an old hymn. It says this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The next verse says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Then the next verse, his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood when all around my soul gives way. He is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What's the foundation of your life? Because rain's coming. Rain's coming. And if you've built your life on sand, it's going to destroy you. Or you can build your life on Christ. As I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking a lot about the building collapse in Florida. Such a tragedy. The death toll now is near 100. 100 people. Engineers are telling us that it's going to be months from before we know exactly what happened. But as I was reading articles about this, one line stood out to me. It said this, it stood for 40 years and it collapsed all of a sudden. One engineer actually theorized that the problem could have been there from the beginning. It just took 40 years for that time for the problem to reveal itself. And so the question is, are you building your life on the solid rock of Jesus? What's your foundation? Because listen, storms and floods are coming. It might take 40 years for something to hit you hard, but storms and floods are coming. And if you've built your life on anything but the rock of Jesus and his word, your house will be washed away. So what's your foundation today? Now, maybe you're here today and your foundation is anything other than Jesus. I would say, repent, run to him, because rain and storms coming. It'll wash you away. There's only one foundation that will hold you secure now and into eternity. Repent, run to Jesus, turn to him. And if you're in the middle of a rainstorm, and it's the fiercest storm you've ever experienced in all of your life, I want you to know, that foundation holds. That foundation holds. He will not let you go. He will not let your house fall. Be a wise person who builds your house on Jesus and his word.